If you're in business, you probably have a website, but can your site handle your growth? How many visitors before your site slows down or crashes? What about storage and data security? From web hosting to virtual servers, Pear Networks provides the online infrastructure you need to start, grow, and flourish. When it comes to security and updates, don't worry, we've got you covered. Our 24/7 US-based customer support is the best in the industry. No frustrating chatbots or sitting on hold for hours. Check out pear.com today to learn more. That's PAIR.com.
Yeah! Film Vault. Welcome to the Film Vault.
Save it all forever.
We're on the air.
Oh, we are?
Yeah.
No more saving. Let it go.
We're your hosts. I'm Brian Bishop. That's Anderson.
Hey.
Thanks for joining us. This week's top five summer recap. Top five movies of this past summer, the movies we liked the best. And we'll go over our top five most anticipated from a few months back, see how it stacks up. And we'll count down our favorite movies from this summer.
Yeah, we're going to kind of compare like what we thought we were going to be most into and most excited about, and then what actually happened. And then a few that I missed too, Brian, that I have up at the top of my queue now. Top of my queue. You seem to be having technical difficulties over there.
Keep going. I'm wearing the wrong headphones.
Okay. That's never a good thing to wear.
That's okay.
Ones. Yeah, those ones were made for people with hair so that they weren't fit proper.
Wow.
But let's get right to it. Flick Fashions.
Oh, you want to flick fast?
So much to talk about.
We have so much to talk about. We know before we flick fast.
We really do. I got to talk about my Bad News Bears debacle.
What was your debacle?
My debacle was
My new house that I bought, my new mansion.
I heard you were moving.
That's right.
Jesus Christ.
I haven't brought it up in a while. Mm-hmm. It's right by the Bad News Bears field.
Hey, I got a question for you.
It's not right by there, but it's close to that.
Yeah, I've heard it's untouched, unchanged.
Bad News Bears field?
Yeah.
Oh, it's changed.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
More homeless people?
No, there's not that many homeless people.
Less pedophiles.
For Westwood, it's surprisingly not that many homeless people.
The girl, that's Jillian, my fiance, she was asking me the other day, where did the name Bald Brian come from? I said, you know what?
Well,
I never called him Bald Brian.
My name is Brian.
Yeah, yeah. But when did someone say, you know what? Here's a story I told her. It's probably true. He was on a morning radio show, the Adam Carolla morning radio show. And it seems like everyone, Mike Catherwood, Psycho Mike included, they have to have a wacky name, especially if they're a sidekick.
If you're a sidekick, you
must
have a wacky
name. So I pictured somebody wearing
a
suit and a tie, pointing at you and said, Brian, you're now Bald Brian.
Now,
is that kind of how it went? And you said, all right, boss.
No. Nope.
Sure thing, boss.
No, I think the guys in ties wanted me to have a nickname. Mm-hmm. And when I was thrust into the sidekick sound effects guy role, it was Adam would call me he called me for a while, called me Bri, and he called me Brian the sound effects guy, which no one ever took. And it was Dave Damashek. He started calling me Bald Brian.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy and clever with the nicknames.
Mm-hmm. Bri, the science guy.
Bob Ryan. That's how Damashek would say it in his Pittsburghian accent.
So I understand that we have a couple wars going on. I understand that there's homeless. I understand that we might be entering our second recession here, Brian.
Mm-hmm. That's going to happen.
However, all that pales in comparison to what happened to me this weekend.
Oh, my God. What happened?
Bad News Bears. Jillian had not seen it.
Oh.
I was very excited.
She's your age, right?
No. I got some Milwaukee's Best to celebrate. I was gonna drink with Buttermaker and watch the movie. Because you know me, I don't drink while I'm watching movies. So it was very exciting that I got to watch an old classic. A movie that I had five-starred.
Jackie Earle Haley also ran honorable mention for best comeback.
He
right?
was. He that's why, for Little Children. That's why this all came up. So good old Netflix sent me Bad News Bears, the five-star. Oh, by the way, I should tell you, too. My first ever one-star movie is going to be Flick Fest in a moment.
Oh, really?
One-star.
You never given one star before?
Never one star. I never talked about a one-star movie other than
you ever talked about it. You've given one stars
Mexico.
Before.
A couple here and there.
Wow. Not,
you know why? It's because Netflix tells me what I'm going to like, not like. Why would I watch something? It's like, we guess it's going to be a one-star for you. Why would I watch that?
But you only rate movies you watch on Netflix.
Yeah.
Because I rate every movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, I don't go back.
I obsessively have rated over 1,000 films.
I should do that.
I obsessively have spent weeks doing this.
What, you like call up your friends and say, what do you think of this movie? Like a two, three, four star?
Yeah, no, I go to RogerEbert.com.
You've not seen 1,000 movies, have you?
Believe it or not, I really have. I only talk about 10 or 12 of them.
You know what you're really good at is names. Actors' names. I'm terrible at actors' names. I barely know your name.
We had Sean Patrick Flannery in studio today.
I don't know who that is.
Guy from Boondock Saints.
Sam Worthington. Like, you know, you were telling me that, like, I'll talk about a movie that you've never heard of, but you know, like, five or six actors' names that are in it.
Yes,
that's one of the many reasons why we're a decent film.
You were about to say we're a great team, and you held yourself back because you don't like to give us or yourself any credit.
But I'm sorry, I'm getting over the cold. So all excited. I get home with my Milwaukee's best. I got – because every single scene, Buttermaker.
Milwaukee's beast.
What's the guy's name? Walter Matthau.
Yeah, Walter Matthau.
Yeah, yeah.
Tatum O'Neal.
One of my favorites. He used to walk his dog in front of my house when I was a kid.
Really?
Big sheepdog.
Nice. Yeah,
I loved him. But he drinks a different kind of beer in like every scene. Every time
Oh, really?
You see him with a beer. So I had like a bunch of different beers. I was ready crack. I was going to watch it with the girl. And we blew up the mattress. A special occasion. Blew up the mattress.
Blew up the mattress.
We blow up the mattress.
What does that
put
mean?
It in the, we have a queen size mattress. We blow it up, put it in the front room for special occasions such as this. Pop the DVD into the to player. Unreadable disc.
Oh.
Take it out. I think I'm just going to do a little quick clean.
Yeah.
Broken in half.
Oh. The disc is broken in half?
Yeah, it's like four or five times it's happened now. They're really good about it. They sent me a new one immediately.
That's a risk of sending it in like a paper envelope.
But here's what I do, you know, because I'm panicked now and I have to complete my night.
Yes, of course.
So I start, God forbid.
No, you didn't look
go down.
You looked up a Blockbuster?
No. Odyssey Video down the street from me, right?
Oh, wow.
Closed.
No.
Completely closed. Like it's 9 o'clock at night. They're shut down. They were open 2 weeks ago. Right? So I find the
nearest, like closed for good.
Yeah. They're just done.
Oh, no.
I knew it was inevitable. I knew it was happening. When they start selling off their inventory for $2 a pop,
that's
you know
sign.
Something's
bad.
Bad
sign.
Yeah. So I hate to even say the Blockbuster, but yeah, I found a Blockbuster down the street, called them up on my way, right? And they put me on hold for 6 minutes. And my little phone said it was
Is Blockbuster
me,
so busy?
Take me to eight more. Well, let me put you on hold. Hold on a second. Mm. So, I'm 6 minutes into my drive. When he comes back, he's like, yeah, we have Bad News Bear. I'm like, thank God.
Oh, no.
I'll be right there. I'm like, whoa, hold on. What year is it?
Yeah, is it a new version? That was my first thought.
That's all they had. He didn't know there was an original. He didn't know. The smell of rubber might still be smelt from where I punched it and just flipped a bitch in front of him. I didn't care.
Oh, devastating.
Yeah. Kind of like Walter in
Buttermaker?
No.
Oh, Walter in Lebowski?
No. Walter in Breaking Bad. You don't watch it.
I
have so much good television on. Breaking Bad saw it today. I watched a little Boardwalk Empire today.
I don't watch that shit.
Nothing's as good as Moneyball, which I saw, though.
Oh, really? You going to flick fest it?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm excited to see it. I was away on a bachelor party this weekend when it came out.
You're either moving or bachelor party.
I know. I was moving to a bachelor party.
Thank you for letting me get my Bad News Bears story off my chest because it was really upsetting.
Before we get into Flick Fashion, I'm just going to do a little bit of mail time. What did you tell me that's from? What did you see the little return address?
Michael Bane.
Bane.
His name's Bane.
Wow.
For someone who knows names so well and loves Michael Bane so much, you should really say his name
Michael
proper.
Bane!
Yes.
Michael Bane mailed to my new home address.
Mm-hmm.
Ow!
That is pretty exciting for you.
Yeah. It's exciting for us. You know why?
Why?
Oh, what's that? Two copies, screener copies of his new movie, The Victim.
Oh, no.
You and I will be watching this.
Oh, no.
And flick-fresting this on a future episode, perhaps next week.
Oh, no. Oh, for sure next week.
The Victim.
I am concerned.
We'll absolutely be watching this.
I promised Mr. Michael Bane that I would be completely and totally honest.
Oh, really?
Yes. I don't know if you recall that.
Nice sniff.
Here's the really awkward part. Remember when I told you I was going to finally flick fast my first one-star movie ever?
Right.
I already got a copy of this.
Oh, come on.
No, I'm kidding.
That's bullshit.
We should have him back on.
I already got a copy. We absolutely should have him on.
Yeah, he sent me a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yours probably got lost in the mail because of the new address and all that.
Yeah, that is – why wouldn't you even tell me about that?
In case people don't know who Michael Bane is, why don't you give
Michael Bane, right if you're new to the show, star of The Terminator, star of Aliens.
Take Me Home
star
Tonight?
Star of Take Me Home – no. Well, yes, he isn't Take Me Home Tonight. And The Abyss, you may know him from The Abyss. You may know him from Tombstone's Johnny Ringo. He's had many, many great roles. Was number one on my list of actors who most deserved a comeback. This is several years ago. Starred in The Grindhouse – or is it Grindhouse or The Grindhouse? The Tarantino and Rodriguez.
It's overrated house.
Either way.
He
starred
in
that.
The not
came in,
death
was a guest, was our finest guest, if you ask me. And that was a guest on our Film Vault show back on the Ace Network. And we'll have him back in soon.
He should come in to plug this. Is this movie out in theaters yet?
I don't know if it's out in theaters. I will look that up. And when I flick fest this film, it will be discussed at length.
All right. I'm sure.
Flick Fashions. Every week we start off with this ridiculously named segment of the show. We're going to flick fests, confess the flicks we've seen in the past week. Anderson,
mm-hmm.
I got my, I've been moving lately.
I've heard.
I got my Netflix.
You're moving to a bachelor party.
Turn that away from me, please. I got the Netflix instant streaming up and running.
Mm-hmm.
So I've actually seen some flicks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ready to flick fests.
I'm excited.
I'm going to flick fest the shit
How
out
do you
of
watch
this.
Your Netflix?
Fuck Naked?
This.
What's the question?
Should we address the whole split? Do we even know much about the split? My main concern about the split that Netflix is
when does the split happen? Like two companies, right?
Yeah, it's really upsetting. One's going to send, one's going to stream. Netflix is only streaming.
Did you feel bad for their CEO when he emailed you?
I didn't get that email. I think it went straight to my spam because I hate them. I hate Fuckflix because they've never done business with us. Nor will they ever. But because namely because I call them Fuckflix.
You say
but,
hate them?
My main concern, Logan, and yours too, Brian, is the rating system. The algorithms that they have are so well put in place, and it's such a good system that they know the movies. All you said you've obsessively rated over 1,000 movies.
Yeah, but I don't
pay
attention to how they rate for me. I just like that.
Well,
so
you really
I can
should
go back and look at what I rated.
You really should. It might tell you that Transformers is only like a 2.
No, it could be wrong. Flick fashions.
Goddamn companies. And you know what? Somebody let me know that the reason why IMDb and Netflix aren't fornicating on the page, like I have asked for, like porn, digital, like for them to be so intertwined.
I'm with
it's because Amazon owns IMDb, and of course they have their
own streaming service.
Yeah, so
yeah.
That's why. God damn it!
They'll never get
on the same page to make it easy for the consumer.
It'll never go that way.
Blu-ray is overrated. Go.
Flick Fashions. I think you and I both saw Drive.
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 Thought.
Let's Flick Fest together. This rarely happens that we all see the same movie, which really is a shortcoming of our podcast, I would
say. One of the many.
Yeah, that's right. One of the many. But we both saw Drive. I engaged in an on-air argument with Mr. Adam Carolla about
it.
I liked it. I thought it was very good. I said it was good, borderline very good. And Adam got caught up in the sort of technical shortcomings, i.e. it sort of was talking a lot about cars and didn't know about them. And I guess a lot of the plot points didn't have purpose. For me, it was, if you want to use a cliche, an exercise in style. I thought it was fantastic. It was it looked great. I loved the fact that it was sort of an homage to both 80s action movies and sort of spaghetti westerns too, with sort of the hero with no name, the guy who was never named, and the very taciturn hero. Ryan Gosling was fantastic. Director Nicholas Winding Refn? He's Danish.
Refn.
Albert Brooks was fantastic. Ron Perlman was good. Bryan Cranston was great. Kerry Mulligan was very good. I liked them all. They were. Certain plot holes exist, and maybe the movie isn't entirely original. But as I made the point on the air on the Coral Show, the heist movie Anderson has been done so many times and so well, you cannot. You cannot make a better heist movie at this point. You've got to sort of do something totally different, or just go by the book. Like
Ocean's
the town.
11.
That's what I'm saying. It's been done so well so many times.
But I mean, that's a true heist movie.
You'll never do better than Heat. You know what I mean? There'll never be a better heist movie.
Drive was like what a European, a Danish filmmaker would think an American genre movie was of a heist.
Yes.
But it kind of goes out and does his own European. It was an art house.
Did it feel like a cover version? Like, you know, like a European cover
version?
It
was definitely an homage and a cover to the American genre film, but done in the. It was an art house action movie without enough action. That was my biggest thing. And that's coming from a guy who doesn't. I don't even like action that much. It was missing at least one more, if not two more, great chase scenes. Or heist. The first one,
a lot
it
of
opens
up, which I appreciated.
It opens up with one of the really, really well done chase scenes, and the tension was so great. This movie was
It wasn't dumb. You
all
know what I mean?
On tone. It was completely all about tone. And one of the biggest problems with the movie is parts of it were so good, and other parts of it were so lacking. That was my problem with it. Like Mulligan,
I
love her.
Perfect. It was
she
not
was
perfect,
great right? in Education, but I thought she was really miscast here. She wasn't bad in the movie. I just didn't give a fuck about either one of them. Every time she'd come on the screen, I'm like, oh, here we go. I don't care about the two of them at all, at all. But then the other parts were so goddamn good. It was like I kept hearing your voice in my head saying, almost awesome, almost awesome.
It was almost awesome.
The opening was the most fun I've had in the theater since Dark Knight. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
It
was
really,
a solid
really
scene.
Good. And you know what else is awesome? Getting the soundtrack.
I was just
great
about
soundtrack.
To say, the soundtrack has surprisingly stuck with me. Like
it's completely in my head.
Yeah.
I got a pirated copy of it because I don't pay for music.
Nice.
And what I like to do is I don't take the freeway home anymore after Loveline. I get out of here and I drive the surface streets.
Like a real hero.
And it makes you want to drive slow.
And a human
makes
being.
Me feel like I'm in Miami Vice.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Like a real hero.
And you know what? Soundtracks.
And a human being.
Soundtracks really make you like movies more. Like I'm dying to see this thing again. And it's like I liked it. It was a solid 4-star movie.
Yep.
By no means. It was all about
awesome.
Our tone. And I really appreciate like it being able to be – because, I mean, it so easily could have been a Tarantino in your face. You know, like
– Yes.
Imagine like a Brett Ratner got a hold
of
this.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine?
It would have been a different movie.
And Gosling was allowed to go out and pick the director. And I guess
was
the story that I read it, I think, in EW, that he was like a – I guess that the director was really, really sick, I think. And they had a little drive around there. He was like interviewing him in a car, and like he flew out here. The director did to talk to Gosling, and it was like really awkward and quiet, and there wasn't a whole lot of talking going on. And then all of a sudden, an REO Speedwagon song came on, and the director's like, "This is what the movie is." And Gosling's like, "You're right. I totally see it." And they like,
all out of love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, that might be Air Supply. Either way. Flick Fessions continues. Can I continue?
Yeah.
You know what I realized?
I do like that Gosling, though. He's getting sexier every
Apropos, Anderson, apropos to your Gosling comment, you know what I realized? Mm. I thought to myself afterwards, I'm like, that Ryan Gosling's really good. Where's he been? And I'm like, oh, he's around a lot. And I thought to myself, I've never seen a Ryan Gosling movie.
What?
Cut
that out.
No, don't. Don't. Because I looked over. No dings. I looked over his list.
How could you not see The Notebook?
I looked over the list on IMDb.
Lars and the Real Girl.
Looked it over. Hadn't seen it.
Crazy Stupid Love.
I want to see that. It looks
Crazy
great.
Stupid Love. He's so great in that.
I want to see it.
So great.
So you know what I did?
God damn it. I wish that movie was an R-rated, because then he wouldn't have had to do stupid things like throw shoes off of the second story. Because if Crazy Stupid Love was R-rated, God damn it, that movie would have been one of my favorites. I would have been talking more about it later this show. Would have been maybe my top five. But it didn't, because it was PG-13. It was neutered. It was a neutered movie.
You know what I did?
What? What'd you do?
Went on the Netflix instant streaming.
Yeah?
And I found a Ryan Gosling movie.
Yeah!
Half Nelson.
Mm-hmm.
Half Nelson. It's the only one that was streaming. It was that or some killer inside.
Half Nelson, like, it gets a little bit sappy.
It was a lot of bit sappy.
Yeah.
It was directed by Ryan Fleck, who did Sugar, which I think you liked a lot, right?
Sugar!
Didn't you like that?
No,
I thought you liked Fast Sugar.
Don't like Sugar.
Isn't that the baseball player?
No. Yeah, I like Sugar a lot.
Yeah, you liked it a lot.
Sugar was all about the Dominican. I forgot Sugar all about rules. Sugar. I was thinking of Sugar and Spice, that movie that you love. Never mind. I don't know the name.
That movie rules, too, by the way.
Sugar's good. Sugar's good.
Co-starring Sharika Epps and Anthony Mackie from The Hurt Locker. Mm-hmm. Ryan Gosling, nominated for an Oscar, lost to Forest Whitaker for The Last King of Scotland. It's an okay movie with a tremendous performance by Ryan Gosling. He's really good, but it's sort of like, all right, you get to play a drug addict who doesn't really do a lot.
It
so
felt
just
like an
spread
after
your wings.
School special, didn't
spread
it?
Spread your wings.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot of plot, not a whole lot of story going on. It was a good movie.
Can we go back to Drive for a second?
Yeah, sure.
Drive.
There's more to say about Drive.
So much
Nelson's
violence, too.
Whatever.
I mean, it kind of creeps up on you. There's violence out of nowhere to the point where the director, that's how you pronounce it in his homeland.
Well, he's a Dane.
Mother's tongue.
That's right.
He actually apparently contacted Gaspar Noé to ask him about the fire.
No!
Creatures. Yeah, the infamous.
No.
Because there is a song.
No!
No! There's that scene, which I laughed out loud, and I'm not
which
giving
one?
Anything
bathroom
away. In Drive.
Bathroom scene?
No.
Oh.
No.
Elevator scene?
Elevator scene. Hilarious.
Because I thought about a little bit of Irreversible.
Yeah, I mean, you don't get to see it like you did in Irreversible, thank God. You just hear it. You see one quick shot of it.
Yeah, there's a good.
He demolishes
five frame
a
shot.
A human skull, pulps it, and then the look that he gives to her afterwards, it's fucking priceless. It's like, what is she supposed to do at that point?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. It's like, and she doesn't even know who the guy is. It was that part was hilarious.
You laughed.
Very funny. Drive is the kind of movie, like, it makes you want to talk about.
Yes, I agree.
You know, it definitely gets you talking.
Is it a summer movie, though?
Yeah, you know what? Technically, it falls in. It does fall in the summer months, but a lot of people say the summer ends with Labor Day. Right. No, summer ended
Well, my number one for summer movies is on the fringe.
It was Friday.
It's on the cusp. But I counted it because everyone thinks it's a summer movie.
Wow, this
number
is
three for me. Speaking of funny, I saw movies I think you saw. Anvil, A Story of Anvil?
Yeah.
Yeah, Anvil, A Story of
Anvil. They're doing
Anvil,
too.
Really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Anvil, A Story of Anvil.
This is a movie you will love.
Number two or number one?
Anvil.
I loved it.
Yeah,
yeah, it was great.
It's your kind of movie.
2009, a documentary. People call it sort of like the real-life Spinal Tap, mm-hmm. and it kind of is, although the difference, I guess, is sort of like a Spinal Tap's making fun of sort of like, you know, pretentious rock stars who are full of themselves. Anvil's a story of a Canadian rock band named Anvil, who sort of was very big in the 80s. Well, not very big. They were big amongst the metal community in the 80s.
They had street cred.
Yeah. And it opens with a lot of, you know, metal guys, you know, Scott Ian from Anthrax and Slash and guys that are talking about how awesome Anvil was. And Anvil is not a band I'd ever heard of. And I was like, why? I literally had to look it up in the first 2 minutes of the film.
Is it streaming?
It is streaming.
Sweet.
I looked it up on the first 2 minutes of the film on Wikipedia. I'm like, is this movie made up? Like, is this like a mockumentary? Am I being fucked with? I don't want to get fucked with like a catfish. Like fucking Exit the Gift Shop.
Paranormal Activity. I remember you thought that was real for weeks.
I don't remember thinking about that.
Okay.
Either way. No, Anvil's 100% real. These guys are still rock stars.
Yeah. Stars? Really?
These are still living the rock star life from time to time when they're not working for school lunch cafeterias.
Now, the one guy, I felt so sad for him. And it was like really, really a heart
lips
breaking.
It's heartbreaking because he's such a fucking nice guy.
Retarded person.
He's mentally challenged. Oh, there's so many heartbreaking scenes. Like the scene where he's at the rock festival, remember? And he's going up to all the other rock stars backstage. Like, hey, buddy, remember?
Yeah, and you're like cringy.
And
yeah,
and the other guy's like, who the fuck are you? You know what I mean? Oh, it's brutal. He's so happy to see him.
It's a movie that people I really, really like.
Yes, it's a very likable film. It feels like it. This is a movie that people like.
That is so inside.
It does feel like it's – no, we say it every episode. It does feel like it's a – it felt like it was a Canadian TV show. Like it was cut up because there were like commercial breaks and like certain curse words were bleeped out. So I wasn't sure what they were.
What? Really?
Oh, yeah. I know.
I saw it in the theater
times.
And I don't recall that.
Several times. I saw it on Netflix.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe Netflix.
Fuck Flix.
Maybe Netflix has gone the way of Blockbuster. Mormon.
Do you think to yourself at a certain point during
Mormon.
The – stop it. Do you think to yourself at a certain point during the movie
– no, they cut out like, they cut out his penis. Dirk Diggler. You don't get to see it at the end of the Blockbuster movie.
Why wasn't Anvil – I was thinking to myself, why isn't Anvil a bigger band? I mean, there are plenty of bands from the 80s who had shitty lyrics or who weren't that great in musicians or their lead singer might have been ugly. Like, why didn't Anvil stick? Like, why didn't they make it?
Didn't they kind of address that in the movie?
They never explicitly addressed
it. Well, they will in the second one.
But then – when they were in the studio recording the 13th album, This Is 13, lips started to sing.
Oh.
And it all added up right there. I was like, this guy. And no. it felt like something like – it felt like, you know, the way no one would tell like, you
that
know.
That makes perfect
a
sense.
A retarded kid, like you can't really play baseball. Yeah, a mentally challenged kid. You can't really play
baseball.
Well,
T-Pain apparently is in the second one and they're going to auto-tune his voice and take
nice.
Care of all that. Yeah.
He can't sing, that's which explains not, that's why they never made it, but he's such a nice guy that you want him to succeed.
Yeah, you root for him. He's the kind of character, very sympathetic. You're definitely rooting for him. And I think that's a very good point. I think that no one had the heart to say, hey, let's get out. Well,
yeah, his sister financed the album.
Moneyball.
Bro. Moneyball.
This is a movie that people are going to like. No, people are going to love this movie. It's going to be up for best picture, I
good.
Would think.
Aaron Sorkin's involved in this somehow.
Aaron Sorkin came in and did the rewrite. What goes on before this movie came out was it was supposed to be a Soderbergh movie. He had already Steven Soderbergh, who I love, even though I haven't seen Contagion, seen it. I don't know. I'm not dying to see people die.
People are dying in the
Contagion.
Film.
But I love that Steven Soderbergh. I've seen every single movie he's made, and I was pumped up about Moneyball originally because he was originally supposed to direct it.
Nice.
He was going to interview a bunch of actual players who played with. The team, and during that time, like Daryl Strawberry is one of the actors that he actually Lenny Dykstra, he interviewed them, actual did real interviews.
Wait, they weren't on the team?
No, but they were playing in that era.
Oh, okay.
And he interviewed like, you know, big name stars from that era that were still around, and then he got in a fight with the studios, as you so often hear, and they shelved the project, and they hired what's his name to come over and make it. Bennett Miller, who hadn't made a movie since Capote, which was very good. I like Moneyball very much. It's kind of like the Social Network of.
I was just about to bring it up because
it feels forced at times where they have. It seems like every time they're showing a computer screen up close, which they do quite a bit for effect for the all the stats and number crunching they're doing. Yeah. They have like this piano that sounds very much like Trent Reznor's piano.
Yeah.
It's feels a little forced. Like maybe people will remember how great Social Network was.
Well, content wise, it reminds me of it too because I've heard many people say good things about Moneyball, and I was like, much like the Social Network, it seems like it's taking a sort of uninteresting subject, i.e., baseball stats or computers or the internet, and making it a really interesting story. So I'm kind of interested to see it in light of that. You know that it's taking a mundane subject matter and making it interesting.
It definitely could. It was. It runs an hour and 133 minutes, over 2 hours. Ooh. Definitely could have crunched that into just under 2 hours.
Sure.
I think. There's a lot of long, needless shots that I'm like, why are they doing this? And that's kind of what they do with like sweeping epics or big movies.
You got to get Brad Pitt on the screen.
And Brad was the best I've ever seen him. Brad was really, really good.
Wow.
You forget it's Brad pretty quick. And even when you do remember it is Brad, he's like the Brad that you love. The really, really good Brad.
Yeah.
Billy Bean was awesome. It's really a character study. And it's very – I didn't know the story because I stopped watching baseball. And I was really invested in the story because of I stopped watching baseball because it is broken, because it is such a Moneyball game. And so I was invested in the story from the very beginning. So maybe that I will like it more than other people will. I think the girls might be bored, especially if they're not baseball fans. But then they got Brad to look at. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Jonah Hill was great.
How skinny Jonah? Or is he not skinny?
He's not skinny yet. Not in this one. He's fat still.
I love it.
Jonah Fat. Very nice kid, that
Jonah Fat.
Yeah. But Moneyball, very good.
Do they portray it as like a worst to first scenario? Because the A's were not a bad team.
Yeah, of course they did.
They won 100 games for the year before.
Yeah, well, they started off with the playoffs from the year before.
Oh, they did.
And then, but yeah, of course, it's got the Rocky thing where you know that they're going to make a turn, even though I didn't know, but you knew, you could feel it coming. It was predictable in that way. But it's all right. If it's based on reality, especially if something as big as baseball, go ahead and be predictable.
All right.
But yeah, it was definitely formulaic. It's a movie that, you know, Sony Studios knew that they couldn't lose. They couldn't miss on as long as they got a willing and a capable director.
Right.
And they were afraid of the chances that Soderbergh wanted to take. I really wish that Soderbergh got to make this, and I would have loved to have seen what he did with it. It would have been a sports movie like no other, probably. Right.
But I wonder why not necessarily they were so nervous. Good. He's not exactly
because
a,
the script and everything with Brett. It was going to work no matter what.
Turnkey.
You didn't have to fuck with it.
It was turnkey.
Yeah, kind of like Goodwill Hunting.
My mansion.
It's like Gus Van Sant did not even fuck with that movie. There's barely any Gus Van Sant in that movie.
It was all
the script
Affleck
was so
and
good.
Damon.
Exactly. Yeah. Shut up. Philip Seymour Hoffman kind of wasted in it, and he didn't really get his comeuppance. Just deserved. He kind of wanted that because he was fighting old Billy Bean, and you wanted him to realize, you know, the errors of his ways. Like, I should have listened to you. But anyways, really, really good movie.
Right.
Enjoyed it thoroughly. Even the non-sports fan, I think, will enjoy this Moneyball.
Nice.
Almost as good as Murderball.
I will see it. Ooh, Murderball, fantastic.
Murderball, yeah. Murderball a little bit better.
What?
Yeah. Check to see if that's...
Murderball is really good.
If that's streaming, Murderball. All right, real quick, because this segment is the longest segment we've done in ever. Forever?
In ever.
Well, this isn't going to take long because I saw a movie called... This is a one-star movie. It's a movie about people that hump trash.
Trash humpers.
That's right. That's what it's called.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's a movie.
It's not a movie.
Yeah, Trash Humpers.
Stop it.
It's a movie by Harmony Korine.
Harmony Korine.
Mm-hmm.
Maker of Kids.
Mm-hmm. He had made a movie a couple years before called Mr. Lonely, all about Michael Jackson. I really liked it. It was actually a sweet little enjoyable movie. Apparently, he had such a hard time making – it was the biggest budgeted movie he had ever made. And he had such a hard time with the studios and then, you know, arguments because Harmony Korine's so wacky. And he has to do all these crazy things. That he was really bittered and upset about it. So he just – once he was done with that, he wanted to get the taste out of his mouth and make something as quick as possible. What did he do? He himself, his like family members, put on old people's masks and walked around and humped trash, beat off trees, took twigs and pretended to jack them off. And there'd just be long, lingering shots, whole movies shot on VHS tape. He edited the entire movie on VHS tape. And it's just that. And then they kill a guy with a hammer, and then they throw like some light bulbs in the ground and dance around on them. It was just nonsensical, white trash, disgusting. I feel dirty. I feel gross while I'm watching this. I tried at one point because, I mean, Brian, no plot. There's no storyline. There's barely any dialogue. And the dialogue that is there are these horrible little songs that the characters sing.
Right.
Fake it till you make it, make it. fake it till you make it, make it.
Sounds pretty good. By the way, just woke up my dog.
So I was trying to ignore the goddamn trash humpers, right? And I went online to do some research. That made it even worse when that was just playing in the background.
Right.
Like in front of me.
Yeah, but no context.
That made it even more creepy and more disturbing. I once starred this goddamn movie. However, in reading about it afterwards, his original plan was to make this movie, leave it make a few copies on VHS tape, Brian, and leave them like on some street corners and not take credit for it and just like see what happens.
Wow.
So let people find it and then put it in and say, what the fuck are these old people doing? But he didn't. Oh. Ultimately, he took credit for it, slathered his name all over it, and it played at like Sundance. I'm not sure about Sundance, but it played at film festivals. This movie's horrible. Do not waste your time. Trash helpers.
It's going on the queue. It's going on.
Nothing redeeming. Look at the just the poster alone. Makes my skin crawl. There's nothing good about it.
Fake it till you make it.
And got some like the lady has got some song about fucking little devils jumping over a fence or something, and then. Like 3 days later, and I find myself humming that song in the kitchen. It's haunting me. All right. So Trash Humpers, my first one-star review ever.
There you go. Coming up next.
Harmony Korine, in case you don't know, wrote Kids. He did that Gummo movie.
Gummo.
That a lot of people got mad because it wasn't on my top five most disturbing list. Yeah, it's disturbing. Fucked
I was going to say, your top five list sounded pretty disturbing. Newborn porn.
Harmony Korine's got some great
Chaos
imagery.
Reigns.
So the end scene of Mr. Lonely, the Michael Jackson movie, one of the most hypnotic shots I've ever seen. He's on a little mini bike motorcycle, Brian, in slow motion, with a monkey flying behind him, like a monkey stuffed animal. It was beautiful, beautiful shot. Trash humpers. Nothing pretty. Not one pretty image.
Well, it's about trash.
I beat off.
Coming up next,
I didn't
we're
going to
review the summer movies, top five summer movies, and our summer recap next on Film Bomb.
Come on. Okay. Wake up.
don't want to be a real housewife. I want to use my brain. Gotta get home.
Hey, Anderson.
I know, much like myself, Brian, you listen to a lot of podcasts. How do you listen to your podcasts?
In my car, almost exclusively.
Exclusively, myself as well.
Yeah.
In my car.
It helps my commute.
We wanted to talk to you a little bit about Neo Car Audio.
It's our first sponsor.
First sponsor since the comeback.
Check out neocaraudio.com.
Plus, it makes sense. I mean, they're selling products that actually help you listen to podcasts yes. like this one in your car. I have been for years using the little, because I listen to tons of podcasts like you do, Brian. I use a little tape player with the little tape that goes in there with the wire that comes out.
That's terrible.
Terrible system.
You need to go to neocaraudio.com.
Neocaraudio.com. They actually have stuff that tricks your stereo into believing that it's an iPod.
That's
and other things
need.
Like that. Yeah.
Listeners get a 15% discount and free shipping with the code TFV. Order something, order nothing. Just check it out and, hey, tell them we sent you there. We'll appreciate it. Neo Car Audio, they're our listeners, they're fans, they're our first sponsor. Neo Car Audio.
Thank you, Neo Car Audio.
Yeah, welcome back. Thank you to our feature artist of the week, Nixon and the Watergates. Connor Swiney and Dan... Ooh, almost said Dan. Dylan Ewan, the members of the band, Nixon and the Watergates. Go to our site, andersonandbrian.com, to find links to all their music and their sites and et cetera, et cetera. And if you want to be a feature artist of the week in the future, go to andersonandbrian.com. Send us your stuff. What are you doing? Put that away.
The feature artists just keep getting better and better.
They do.
This is good shit.
Agreed.
Brian, you're enjoying Trash Humpers. I'm showing Brian the trailer for Trash
I'm
Humpers.
I'm mesmerized.
Brian, what do you see right now? What are you looking at?
I see people humming trash. Those are old people. They have canes. No, they have crutches.
Walkers, Brian.
No, I got a crutch. I know from walkers. Yeah. Those people are connected.
By the head.
All right, turn that away from me. Summer recap. Anderson, summer 2011. What do you say? What's your verdict? Was it good summer movie?
C-minus, maybe. C.
Wow, C-minus. Turn that away from me.
Why? You don't like to watch Trash Humpers. You know what? The more I think about Trash Humpers, the more I like it.
Oh, no. This is the first ever of one-star review that's going to turn into a five-star review.
No, it's not. I fucking hate that movie. Trash.
Summer recap. All right, let's go 5-1. So you want to match up our – we did a summer – most anticipated summer movies a few
months
ago.
We're milking us for all it's worth.
Yeah, we are. We did a most anticipated –
I think it's important. The purpose of this episode is to talk about the movies that we did see that we did catch that were decent in case you missed them, or you can hear us and go, oh, yeah, we agree. We love those movies too.
Yes.
Or in case you missed them, you can add them to your queue. I have like 4 or 5 movies at the top of my queue that are just waiting, Brian, to be released in October. And I'll be like one of the first people to get the
As is
the
always the case with my summer preview lists, some movies I didn't see, some movies I didn't
Most
like,
movies you didn't see.
And some I liked not near as much as I thought I would.
All right, so let's do this. Original top 5, 5-1 for...
Are you doing a whole 5 or are you doing a 5
let's just do
five,
like,
four,
let's,
four,
just,
four.
Let's just do... Like, all right, my top 5, number 30 minutes or less was my number 5. Apparently. I'm not... This list was sent to me by Logan. I'm not sure that I 100% agree with it. I know that there was at least one glaring error on it.
Who's Logan?
But I think 30 minutes or less might have been the a throw in. But it's Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
You know, Nick Swartzen.
Danny McBride.
I tried twice to go watch this movie in the theater, and I walked out both times. Not because it was a terrible movie, just because
Wait, did you? Was it 30 minutes or less?
Yeah, I did. I already made that joke, too, a couple episodes ago.
That's why I was giving myself a lot of credit for that one.
So I walked the first time I walked across, and I went and saw Attack the Block instead.
Yeah.
Attack the Block. It's a British film. And Flick Fashion just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, you are doing number 5.
Yeah.
Okay.
My number 5 original was 30 minutes or less, which I put in the queue. I mean, I want to watch it at home. It wasn't a bad movie. Yeah. It was just one of those cartoony R-rated movies for stoners.
You'll get around to it.
Which I'm sure that it's got some good yucks, some good laughs.
Right.
Go watch it with the girl one night, you know.
Sure.
It's going to be one of those movies. I felt like I was being raped, paying, you know, $12 to see it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, a guy named Joe Cornish directed Attack the Block, which is all – I think that it was like what I said was one part The Wire, one part Gremlins, one part Goonies.
Yeah, I was intrigued.
And one part Kids.
Intrigued.
Logan saw this movie
as
well.
It's a British film, right?
He enjoyed it thoroughly. Yes, by the producers of Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
So it's got the same kind of feel, hot fuzz. Same kind of feel, like really goofy, funny, ridiculous, and then all of a sudden, gore. Holy shit, yeah. But it's all about this this gang of thugs that live in the English version of the projects, and they come across an alien, Brian, and they kill it. And then there's wrath to be paid. Ooh. There's vengeance because all the rest of the aliens come to
as there often is when aliens get killed. Yeah.
But there's a lot of holes in this movie, which I remember telling you before.
What?
A lot of holes in the movie that get cleared up by the end of the movie. All right. Stick with it. Some really, really great parts.
It's a
little gem. It's a good movie. It might be getting it was overrated at one point. Is it really highly rated?
On video yet?
No, I think it's coming soon. Okay. Coming soon. But Attack the Block.
We'll be watching that.
I do like some of that dialogue too.
Yeah.
Good dialogue, right? Logan. Believe. Got to believe. It was wicked. Yeah. The kids are pretty great.
I'm all for it. Mm-hmm. Number five, for me, I wanted to see, but actually never got around to seeing, and it's on the top of my queue.
Here we go. Were you moving?
The greatest movie ever sold.
Oh, really? You didn't see that?
I didn't see it. I wanted to. I wanted to see it and never got around to it. Now it's on video. Morgan Spurlock was on the show promoting it on video. I will see it. Came out April 22nd. Directed, of course, by Morgan Spurlock. Never saw it. But what I did see and did like, X-Men First Class.
Top of my queue.
Oh, it's good.
Matthew Vaughn. I know. I meant to go goddamn see it.
Director of Kick-Ass, Matthew Vaughn, starring two guys you may not have heard of beforehand, James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender. Also, Kevin Bacon. Jennifer Lawrence from Winter's Bone. Looking very sexy, by the way.
She's always sexy. But she was green in this movie, no?
Blue. Part-time. Some of the time.
I'm excited about seeing this movie.
Yeah, January Jones.
How does it hold up to the second one? January Jones, crazy, by the way.
Not as good. Not nearly as good.
Really?
No.
Fuck it. Off my queue.
Yes, I'd put it on par. No.
Second one was... hell of a lot of action. First one I thought was the only reason why I saw either one of them because I was a Brian Singer still am kind of a Brian Singer whore.
This one I put on par with the first one, maybe a little bit better. Second one still is a fine film. I put it way up there. I think I ranked it on my top five comic book movies of all
time.
As
you should. It was very good.
It was very good. This also was quite good. 86% on the old Rotten Tomatoes and a fantastic cameo in the middle of the film. I won't spoil it at this point, but. If we ever do cameos again, it'll come up. You know what I'm saying? Top five cameos? Yeah,
great.
Exactly. I'll give it some
time. Anyone listening now, when you see top five cameos come up in a couple
run
of years,
the other way.
If you still haven't seen X-Men 3X. Why didn't it just call Triple X?
Triple X. I think it's already happened.
It's already been
done. That happened once before.
Does Ice Cube actually bang anything in that movie?
I don't think Ice Cube's in it. I think it's Vin Diesel.
No, it's Vin Diesel. I'm a terrible racist person. Chalky White shot up.
A little bit less of a racist.
Chalky White. Ku Klux Klan plays a major role there in Boardwalk Empire, Brian.
Why are you talking about this?
Because it's a great show. It's better than cinema.
TV Vault. Number four for you.
It's a golden era of television. You realize that? You realize we need to do a spinoff show.
Golden Shower.
TV Vaults. My number four, according to Logan, was The Debt. It's a John Madden film. I was fairly excited about
it. Yeah, you were.
Helen Mirren going after Nazis. Pastime war criminals. And I thought that I talked about it a couple weeks ago that I thought it was going to be them today going back and finding Nazis from then and beating the fuck out of old men and having dentures flying across the room.
Sure.
And I thought it would be pretty exciting as an audience member to get have the right to applaud walkers being tossed aside.
Walkers being broken over them.
Because they're Nazis. Turns out that wasn't the movie at all. It was very slow. It was very well crafted. A very good John Madden movie. John Madden, of course, the director of he did not make Boom or Pow. No.
Oh, Hall of Famer?
That's hilarious, Brian. No one's ever made that joke before.
were the actors cursed in the film?
He made the Shakespeare in Love movie.
Yeah.
That's what he's messed up.
He was previous on our one-hit wonder director's list before this film.
But because of
Shakespeare.
Because of Shakespeare?
Yeah.
Nah, because he really?
Yeah, I don't think he made many movies aside from that.
Damn it. It's not the right movie, you son of a bitch, Anderson. I got a new system and it's not working that well, I got to tell you. When you click on The Debt and 30 minutes or less pops up,
I'm good.
Not a good system. But he did like The Queen, right? Or something. The Dutch. I don't know.
No one knows.
God damn it. I sound like an idiot now.
Yeah, you do.
All right. Start the whole show over. We got to start
over. I will not.
We got to start over. Brian, kill time.
Number four for you was?
So my number four. It was originally my number one. Horrible Bosses, but it was still made the cut.
It was very good.
It was. I did not feel like I was wasting my time, to quote Dr. Drew. That's what he said when he saw it. He saw the red carpet premiere, apparently.
Wait, let me jump in real quick. Mm-hmm. My number four, Horrible Bosses.
Yeah,
July 8th.
Not a horrible movie.
July 8th. Not a horrible film. Although I don't like the trend, and I posted this on Twitter and got a lot of hilarious responses. Hilarious, not hilarious responses. I don't like the trend of...
Wait, what was not hilarious?
If your movie title can be used to complete the sentence, this is a movie about blank, that's a bad trend. This whole Horrible Bosses... Bridesmaids. I don't like just the very direct, like, we're pandering to you. And we're not even going to come with a clever title.
Trash Humpers.
That's exactly right. Yes, Trash Humpers. Well, I feel like
you know that he
irony.
Named the Trash Humpers there because he knows that a lot of people at festivals, especially, walk out of offensive movies, and he didn't want to trick anyone into going to the theater. So he purposely called it Trash Humpers.
But I got a lot of hilarious.
And it opens up with Trash Humping.
Responses included people just replying Transformers, which is hilarious. Mm-hmm. But then some people were replying like, dude, every movie is just like that. What about The Godfather? What about Rocky? What about Lawrence of Arabia?
You know what's funny is Catherwood and Drew and I were just talking on Loveline a couple nights ago about how movies used to be called what they were, like Beastmaster. It was about a dude that was masterful
Master
of
beasts.
Beasts.
Yeah. Sure.
Nowadays, Catherwood was suggesting that if that came out today, it would be called like Winds in the Woods.
See, I feel like that's kind of full circle. I feel like we're back now to the trend of describe the movie exactly what it is. And by the way, The Godfather, no. If you said this is a movie about The Godfather.
Well, that's different. I mean, if you're naming a movie after a character, which is a top five we need to do, by the way. We should do top five movies with the, you know, named after the character is.
Yes, like, character in the title.
Charlie Banks.
Character in the title.
Yeah, character in the title. We should do that.
We've some almost great done that before.
Yeah, we should do it.
That was one of the ones we almost did over at AIDS.
Sorry, guys. Also, we're a little timed off right now, and I feel bad for Brian. It's way past his bedtime. We should say that we're doing this kind of in the middle of the night.
It's 1 a.m.
Kind of because someone had to go party this weekend, and we had to push this.
That is me.
We had it scheduled.
Okay. So. Fast forward past all that. I'm right. You're all wrong. Thank you for tweeting me. The other trend I didn't like earlier, maybe in the late 90s, turn of the century, was arbitrarily naming your movie after a song title that had nothing to do with your movie. It was just catchy,
Was this why you liked Hurt Locker so much?
Yeah, exactly.
Because Hurt Locker was never mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
You should love A Clockwork Orange.
Hurt Locker was mentioned. That was the name of the bodysuit.
Never mentioned.
Pretty sure it was mentioned.
Never. No.
Number four for me was X-Men First Class. I thought that was my fourth most anticipated movie this summer.
Mm-hmm.
Anderson, mm-hmm. You want to take a break or we're going to go in? Logan, how much – you want to take a break or you want to go to number three?
That's number three.
Number three.
Yeah.
Three for you.
My number three, according to Logan, most anticipated was Bellflower.
Oh, yeah.
I've been looking forward to that since I read about it at its premiere at Sundance. Of course, it was a very independent – In every sense of the word, actually, very, very independent movie made by
a
two
love
friends.
Love story about a breakup.
Evan Glowdell. That's not how they advertise it. They advertise it as a big blow-up movie.
That's what you told me.
But that's what it turned out to be. Number three was my guess to be my most anticipated movie of the summer. Number three turned out to actually be Bellflower.
Wow.
Dead on. Yeah.
Dead on.
Dead on.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm. It was a very enjoyable, very raw, not a movie for everyone. If you do like... Beautiful cinematography, very independent.
I like that.
The movie, it's not an easy movie to watch,
okay.
But it's not a hard movie. It's not like a Trash Humpers movie. It's not like difficult. It's not like you're going, oh my God. My biggest problem with it is the main pivotal point in the movie. I don't want to give anything away, but I mean, it was kind of a cop out. It was kind of a cliched cop out. And it's like, you guys did so many things right, but. They got this. It's about two friends who are all – they're just really good friends. They move out to California to kind of find themselves, and they're all about doing quirky things like building this hot rod that actually throws flames.
I'm telling you, buddy. We got to do top five movies that took a turn for the worst, not bad twists.
There's nothing wrong with that part of the movie. And it's – and this car actually exists, and they actually made it all so that it does all these things.
Right.
A lot of similarities, actually, with 30 Minutes or Less with Nick Swartz and Danny McBride's character and these two guys.
Sure.
But less funny. But they're very likable guys. And you see them go through this transformation, but it's all centered around a relationship. And that's not really disclosed in any kind of trailer or anything that I saw. But it did really capture the young male's heart being torn apart by a slut, which is essentially what happens.
Sure. All girls are sluts.
Well, I recommend it. I would actually – this is a movie that I would really like you to see. And I would love to get your take on it. Because I saw I Am Comic for you.
What'd you think? Wait, when did you see it?
I saw it this week.
Oh, you didn't flick Fesset?
No, because I saw like seven movies since I saw you last night.
We got to flick Fest Trash Humpers. You got to get Trash Humbers.
Trash Humbers was important to FlickFest. I Am Comic, I think that you should not have had it on your list of top five comebacks last week.
Really?
Because he never really even came back.
Rich Schneider.
He was hard to watch, that guy. When he was talking about his high and how he's like so excited to be back on stage, I'm like, damn. Jillian was like cringing. She's like, I can't watch him. I can't watch him right now. It's so uncomfortable.
All right.
Watching someone talk about the true feelings when it's like, you know they're going to regret it. You know he's going to go back and go, what a fucking douche. What a tool. Why was I saying that?
Do you like the other stuff with the other comics, though?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really great stuff. I could have used some more Bill Burr.
Sure.
More Jim Jeffries.
Bill Burr was barely in there.
Bill Burr on a little Breaking Bad showed up again. His second appearance now on Breaking Bad. He was so good. Oh, I got to hug that man.
Awful lot of TV vlog going on here today.
Well, because you know what? It's really good shit.
It's fantastic.
I'm so glad the film vault's back just in time for fall because, I mean, there's some great ones.
Yeah.
Great movies coming up.
We're fall preview episode coming
up. When are we
going
to do that?
Soon.
Let's see what the next episode.
Next week. I don't know if two preview episodes or
this
two
is not a preview.
Preview recaps back to back is the right thing to do. But soon.
Anyways, Medusa is one of the this is one of those movies that it's hard. Bellflower is one of those movies that's hard for me to even compare it to other things because it is very unique.
Mm.
And it is and I really do appreciate the true newness and rawness and uniqueness of this movie and the passion that these two guys they've been making it for like 8 years.
Yeah.
And it's not like a doesn't look that cheap considering it was pretty goddamn cheap. But Bellflower, and I've always wondered what the name Bellflower, it's just a neighborhood in Long Beach, actually a neighborhood that I lived in for a few years.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I went to Long Beach State.
Kind of hard to tell though. Kind of hard to tell.
It's number three for me. I thought was going to be The Hangover Part Two, which ended up being disappointing. Mm-hmm. But what was not disappointing was a fine film, which I think – did you leave it off your list of most anticipated Super 8?
See, that's where the controversy comes up is Logan claims it was my number two. I remember becoming enraged when you and I both got to our number ones and Super 8 wasn't on either one of them. I'm like, show's not credible. If we're not going to talk about Super 8, neither one of us.
This movie that's coming out in a couple months.
But it was not mine. It was not on my list. It should have been. It
should have been.
It got an honorable mention, but it was not. And it shouldn't have been because – it didn't make my top five.
No, it made my top five, number three. I love Super 8. Came out June 10th, directed by J.J. Abrams, starring Joel Courtney, Elle Fanning, Kyle Chandler, and Noah Emmerich. 81% on the old Rotten Tomatoes. Remember...
Did you say Nolan Emmerich?
Noah Emmerich.
Okay.
Noah Emmerich.
Nolan.
Noah.
Nolan Emmerich.
I like this movie. This is sort of a... this is a movie that people like. No, I like the movie. I liked it. I felt like it was very, to use a phrase from earlier, very turnkey. Like, very little could go wrong with this movie. It was sort of very by the numbers.
Unfortunately, not a whole lot went terribly right.
Yeah, I liked it.
Milk Toast. I barely remember it.
Really?
Yeah. It's not like any of those kids really stuck with me at all. I mean, they weren't bad actors or anything. It's just nothing's really there that I barely remember seeing it. A couple years from now, I'm going to ask you, did I see that?
I really remember appreciating the opening sort of sequence where they reveal that the mom was killed or died in a
she died?
She died in a
freak storm?
Accident at work. Remember? Because they're replacing the days since last accident and they replace it with the number
one.
Yeah. That's good. That's good storytelling,
you
buddy.
You didn't see that coming, though. As soon
good
you
visual
that,
storytelling.
As soon as you saw some linger on the sign of how many days. Right?
Yeah,
oh,
of course.
Shit, that's a streak that's going to end soon.
Yeah, they were replacing the number in that shot.
Yeah. No, I think it was before.
They replaced the number in like the opening shot of the film.
It was very cliche, but you know, very well done, masterfully done, much like The Debt. But I didn't really care for the what was. Yeah, I don't want to be too hard on it. It's just it was kind of you know.
Like Cloverfield, which I just mentioned a second ago, directed by J.J. Abrams. After it was a little bit of like I was expecting a climax, and it was kind of like you know what I mean?
It's,
like
it's a, victim,
a lot of build up.
It's a victim of its own hype and how good the trailer was. I mean,
yes.
There's no way that it could have lived up, I don't think. And I was thinking when I saw it, I bet little kids are going to get out of this the same thing that I got out of like Spielberg, some of Spielberg's better work in the 80s. And after talking to my nephew, I think I talked about it on the show actually. He said,
yeah.
He wasn't that impressed either.
Son of a bitch.
10-year-old nephew, Tristan. No, but I know that he's obsessed with both Lucas and Spielberg, so go ahead. I love J.J. Abrams. I don't love him. I don't swing that way. But no,
that's a lie.
It's disgusting how much of an ass-kiss he is to Spielberg and how I said it before that it was a love letter. Obvious love letter to Spielberg, and Spielberg was standing right there.
It was well done.
And I just picture throughout the movie, I was sitting there going, I bet after that take, he looked up at Spielberg and said, Mr. Spielberg, was that good? Did you like that one?
Is that what you would have done, Steven?
Was that how you would have thought it? And he's like, just like Kubrick would have thought it. Very good.
Wow. That trickles down.
And I became enraged.
Coming up next. Our top two.
But Super 8, do you think you can remember it 5 years from now?
I'll remember the parts I remember now.
I think the best part about it was how you didn't really... You weren't really fearful of the
I did. I liked the part where he applied the makeup to the girl. I liked that whole scene, that whole moment, I should say.
Really?
Yeah, like, I mean, it was just, it was sweet. It wasn't creepy.
Yeah, it was trying to be sweet too much.
It was hot, but
yeah.
It was.
Was it?
What?
I like how you kind of felt bad for the dinosaur, for the alien almost. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Sympathetic character?
I would have liked to be more terrified.
I liked how the alien established telepathic powers when it touched you.
Mm-hmm.
It's good stuff.
Mm-hmm. Wow, this band just took a turn.
Coming up next.
Hey, should we talk a little bit more about NeoCar Audio?
Oh, do that? Do we gonna do that in show?
Why not? Why not?
Check out neocaraudio.com. They're our sponsor this week and the first sponsor.
First sponsor of the new
edition.
Comeback.
First sponsor of the new edition. They're a listener. I mean, owned by a listener, I should say.
And if you're listening to the show right here, right now, I can guarantee that they have something over there at neocaraudio.com that you would probably be interested in because they have stuff that helps you listen to podcasts.
Check them out. Yeah. Oh, check out the shiny new button on our homepage, andersonandbrian.com. This just says sponsors. You can get all the information of everything we talked about here in terms of sponsors on our page. Coming up next, top two movies of last summer, according to us.
Life is looking more and more like a Woody Guthrie song. Say, hey, boss man, how's about a break? So he breaks his nightstick over my face. He says, stop crying, this railroad's gotta get made.
Yeah, film ball. Thanks again, Nixon and the Watergates. Check out their links, all their songs, all sorts of good stuff on AndersonandBrian.com. AndersonandBrian.com, where you go for everything we talk about here on the show. Search for movies mentioned, information on our featured artists. Please join the discussion. Comment on our episodes. We read them all, and we dismiss most of them, but we appreciate the effort.
When Brian says we, he means he.
Yeah.
I take everything to heart.
Good stuff. Anderson, number two.
Number two.
Summer recap, your second favorite movie of the summer.
All right, so what was originally put down on the list, Brian, was Cowboys and Aliens. I was very excited about it. I wasn't really very excited. You know, it's tough. It's a tough season for me, Brian. The summer, that's your realm.
Yep.
That's where you
thrive.
That's where you thrive, yeah. It's your wheelhouse. Not so much my wheelhouse, but every now and again, movie like Cowboys and Aliens looks like it's going to be maybe – it's going to deliver.
It appeals to the hipster inside you.
I just watched all of Deadwood. I was very into that. Sure. I liked the genre-bending idea of it, and I really liked how at Comic-Con – I think it was Comic-Con.
And Sam Rockwell.
Sam Rockwell, of course. Yes. Love Sam Rockwell. And I really liked how they were pushing it. John Favreau was pushing it as a 2D, coming to you, 2D, because, you know, my hatred for the 3D. I did see Cowboys and Aliens. Did not make my top five list of the summer. Love the first half hour, 45 minutes. Really good, Brian.
Oh, you did see it?
Oh, I saw it, yeah. I saw it. But what happened was it left the two characters that I liked most and went and followed two that I couldn't give a fuck
about. Sure.
Not sure. Usually movies stick with the good characters.
Yeah, no, sure. I mean, I can see
Sam Rockwell and Paul Dano's characters were awesome, and I loved them, and I wanted more of them.
Oh, I forgot Paul Dano was in it.
And it's like, let's go over with Daniel Craig and hang out with Harrison Ford and watch Harrison Ford make that I'm constipated look on his face forever, and Daniel Craig to
That's
be
not the Harrison Ford I know.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Daniel Craig. What do you think about this, the dragon? Tattoo?
Danny Craig. I saw two trailers that were remarkably similar. One for Girl and the Dragon Tattoo and one for Dreamhouse. Mm-hmm. They both take place in the snow.
They're completely different movies.
Oh, absolutely. But they both had Daniel Craig and both take place in the snow.
Really?
So I was like, what the fuck is going on here?
Mm-hmm.
So I figured it out.
You see some snow in a trailer in the same movie, too?
So I see snow and I see the same actor. Yeah.
I saw the original Dragon Tattoo. I did not read in the books because I don't believe in reading, but I saw the original Swedish one and I was like, what the fuck is everyone talking about?
Right.
It's okay. Not
directed by Fincher.
Man, I know, and I'm gonna have to see it.
You gotta be in, dude. You gotta be
in. I have to see it, but I have a feeling there's a whole lot of hype going on.
No.
I hope I'm wrong. Anyways.
Even Fincher's worst movie is still interesting.
Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
Nah, you know what? Probably Aliens 3.
Oh, yeah, I guess so. I started his career at 7.
Or Benjamin fucking Button. That movie.
Benjamin Button was great.
What?
Absolutely.
How dare you?
No, it's good.
Brian, what was good about it? It was Mork and Mindy.
Made me tear up a little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Moneyball. That doesn't take much for me to tear up.
People can hear this.
Logan claims that the reason why I had Super 8 on my top five, which I did not, I challenge you, Logan, but I can't find that episode because that episode's no longer available.
Sure.
We've been wiped out.
It's on my iPod.
Is it?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. It's not on mine. He claims that the trailer made me
just email Giovanni anytime you know anything about us. Giovanni, what I for breakfast today?
I don't know who Giovanni is. Logan, you said that it made me reminiscent of my past and Steve Spielberg movies from the 80s. Mm-hmm. I don't think I could have ever said anything like that. So anyways, Cowboys and Aliens was my number two. Unfortunately, it left my two favorite characters.
Bean!
Number two instead, The Help.
Oh, The Help.
Yeah, Fried Green Tomatoes of 2011.
Yeah, The Help.
I really like The Help. Somebody sent me a message, or I read it. Oh, somebody sent me, before I forget. Sorry, I'm a little bit over the map right now. A few people have suggested that I get you to watch The Wire.
I've now been instructed by several people to watch The Wire.
They told me that I should
now
tell
I'm
you
resisting.
This.
Now I'm resisting.
The kids in the ghetto randomly will turn into machines and cars, and they will fight each other.
Will they fight each other?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Will you give it a shot?
Fuck yeah. What have I been doing with my life this whole time?
The Help is my number two favorite summer movie.
Do the maids turn into – they turn into Mega Maid like Spaceballs.
So stupid. Right.
She's gone from suck to blow.
She's what?
Spaceballs reference for you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Brad.
Go.
The Help.
Speak.
The Help.
The Help.
Yes, made by Tate Taylor, starring Emma Stone and a bunch of maids.
Bunch of maids.
No, it's a very, very touching story. Very well.
Hard time cast.
Viola Davis, who, of course, was in Doubt.
Sure.
With the snot flying out of her nose. Just a really, really good cast. A very good story. It's easy to pull for everyone in the movie. It's one of those movies that, like, you know, they're pulling all the tricks out with the music, and you know what's going to happen. But it's so good. It's just heartwarming. It's heartfelt. It's a period piece. Takes place in a great time in America. Well, terrible times.
A great time.
But like the '50s, I love period pieces like that.
Oh, I see. Like Mad Men.
Somebody did send me something about how much I love Mad Men. Somebody did send me something. Mad Men's the greatest thing, a TV show on where nothing's happening at all. Everything's so subtle.
Oh.
So subtle. Somebody said that they hate Emma Stone. They will never watch The Help. Yeah, if you hate Emma Stone, don't watch The Help because she's in it.
How many hate her, though?
But, I mean, even if she wasn't in it, even if you replaced her with
Lindsay Lohan.
You know, that's where I was going to go.
Wow.
And I said
it's
no.
The red hair.
Yeah. She is a good Lindsay Lohan. Emma Stone is a good Lindsay Lohan. Anyways, I love The Help. If you haven't seen it, it's a good one to watch with your lady or by yourself. I watched it by myself and I loved it. I sent the lady to go watch it with her gay husband. She has a gay husband. What do you think of that?
Is his name Anderson?
Her best friend is the guy that she works with who's a gay man.
Oh, that happens.
He's a queen.
That happens. Mm-hmm. You know what, though? Embrace that. Get on his good side because you don't want him feeding her, you know, all sorts of sabotage. That too, but sabotage about you.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But anyways, The Help.
The Help.
Love The Help.
Was going to be a movie I was actually still excited about. It just coincided pretty much with this whole house thing. And it was a recent film, semi-recent in terms of summer. And I never got around to seeing Captain America. Came out July 22nd. looked good. The trailers were fantastic. And I heard good things.
Yeah, me too. Oh, yeah, I heard that. Oh, wait, this is
what?
Was it was
Captain America.
Okay, no.
Never saw it.
No, I was thinking Thor.
Thor was terrible. But number two instead was a film I expected to like, and I did. Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
Wait, number two?
Number two.
What is going on?
There's a movie I liked better.
That's not possible.
There's a film I liked better.
I don't understand.
I didn't expect to.
This makes no sense.
Transformers 3, Dark of the Moon.
Is this the new Brian and the new revamped film vault? We got a new Brian?
Yeah,
what is realistic about movies?
Took a long, hard look in the mirror, and I thought, you know, that Transformers 3, that's not the A++++++ you thought it was. Probably just an A++++.
I read an article about it the other day, actually, just the title, and it was called The Biggest Billion Dollar Bomb of the Summer.
I don't know if that's true.
It made $1 billion, apparently.
Well, it's a great film.
It is.
It's a fine film.
Mm-hmm.
I expect it to be up for all sorts of awards.
Sound editing.
Sound design. Mm-hmm. Why are there two sound designs? There's sound design and sound editing. I don't like that.
Because the sound people are very loud. Go.
Transformers 3 came out June 22nd, directed, of course, by Michael Bay. I need to go through on the whole thing.
Can't wait for that reboot.
Me too.
It's going to be awesome.
Are you serious? Because I really can't wait.
What's going to happen? Like probably 5 years, 10 years. Hollywood has to remake everything twice. Yeah.
What they should do now is have Peter Cullen record his lines for Optimus Prime. Mm-hmm. So that
a bad idea.
Just in case he dies, they know what he's going to say. Autobots roll out.
See the same guy that did the cartoon?
Yeah, of course. Mm-hmm. That's an iconic voice, dude. You can't lose that shit.
Wait, listen to this. P.T. Anderson directs Transformers.
Fuck yes.
2017.
That'd be amazing.
Heard it here first? Are you excited about the new Three Musketeers movie?
No.
Why are How do they come up with some terrible ideas?
Why are they excited about that?
So, because you like terrible things.
What?
Millions and millions of dollars. I mean, everyone knows that movie's going to be horrible and lose tons of money. I mean, they're doing Guy Ritchie now. It's like they're doing what Guy Ritchie did with Smoking Barrels, Lock Stock. You know, 15 years ago, they're like, oh, we're going to do that style now with three fucking Musketeers. Who's going to see that?
If I had to pinpoint two fundamental flaws of the Transformers franchise, one would be a nerdy thing. I don't think they used the iconic sound enough, you know, the transforming sound we all know from the cartoon. Yeah, that thing. They didn't use that. There was like once, maybe the whole trilogy. Number two, this is actually a storytelling problem. Someone pointed this out to me, and I'm like, fuck, you're right. I never thought about this. All the Decepticons, the bad guys, the bad guys, Anderson.
Thank you.
You can't fucking tell them apart. They all look the same. Mm. You know what I mean? The cartoons.
When they're flying through the air and flipping and the camera's all over the place and it's hard to tell what the fuck's happening.
You don't know who's who.
It looks like metal gay sex because it's like a rainbow of metal and steel intertwining.
Yeah.
Intertwining.
Oh, I mean, yes. In the cartoon, it may have been cartoony, but they all had sort of, granted, broader, larger-than-life cartoonish personalities, but they were personalities. There was the one who was the loyal henchman, and there was the one who was always trying to undermine the bad guy. You know what I mean? There were elements to the character. This one, you can't tell them apart. It's an important distinction. You're an asshole.
I'm trying to have an intelligent discussion
about Transformers
and how it's not well directed or well put out, and they all look the same.
This was a good film and exceeded my expectations. After number two, I was expecting the worst, and I think I made it a point at the time that it was fairly intense by Transformers standards, and possibly better than what you're expecting. I will definitely say it's better than what you're expecting out of Transformers 3. It's a good film, and for me, my second favorite film of the summer.
Put it to bed.
Done. Number one.
My number one was, I thought it was going to be Horrible Bosses. I took a risk. I was hoping. You know what? Charlie Day was the worst part of that movie.
No.
Yeah.
The worst part?
I mean, because I expect a lot of things out of Charlie Day. I love that It's Always Sunny.
No, the OnStar guy.
He was just playing
part.
Himself. No. Oh, yeah, the OnStar. The ending was so goddamn awful and brutal and Horrible Bosses. That's what I was saying when I first saw it. And I don't know if I think I flicked past it before we left. Girl.
Did you like Jamie Foxx?
What
Fox's
is the
thing?
Deal with all of our episodes being gone? Where are they?
Did you like Jamie Foxx, motherfucker Jones?
Yeah, he was all right. He wasn't bad. He wasn't great. Yeah.
He's okay.
You know what would have made Horrible Bosses be better? Like if Mike Judge were to like do a rewrite on it and direct it. You know what I mean? If it was like more Idiocracy. Like almost a Mike Judge movie, but like it needed a little more Zane.
Dude, the director, by the way, Seth Gordon. Yeah. King of Kong.
I know.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
He's also in it.
King of Kong.
He's also in it.
So, oh, who is he?
I forget. Listen. Good stuff. So that was, I thought it was going to be my number one. It was like a number four or five, right?
Yeah.
Right. Shockingly. Still shocked. Still can't believe. I'm a little embarrassed, a little ashamed to admit, but yeah.
Oh, no.
That's right. Look at it.
No.
Rise of the Planet.
This is your number one apes. Film of the summer?
My favorite movie of the summer.
Are you shitting me?
It was great. This it's not what a movie should be that comes out in the summertime.
This is not a good film.
Oh, my God. It made me cry. Andy Serkis'
what?
Performance was great. Took me 30 minutes to get over Cartoon Monkeys. Once I was over it, I was in. Once he realized he was a pet and he did the little sign language in the back seat, holy shit, Caesar had me. He had me by the balls.
Okay, Andy Serkis' performance was very
if
good.
If I was in San Francisco during this movie and this actually happened and all the apes were running around and the monkeys and another monkeys because they're really chimps and all this and that, I would be on their side. I'd be like, fuck yeah, Caesar, I'm with you.
Get him.
I would actually maybe shave some of my chest hair and pubes and put them on my face to make myself look like a monkey. I would be a goddamn monkey. I was in it for them. Fuck humans.
Shave your chest hair and pubes.
Yeah, and tape them, glue them to my face to look like I was one of them. The orangutan, the wise old orangutan. Holy shit, what? They rose out of me, which I didn't think was possible with cartoon monkeys. And it was.
This was not a good film.
It was really good. How fucking dare you? What are you talking about, not a good film?
This was the – okay. Don't you appreciate normally like a slow burn, like a build, you know what I mean, towards something? This movie jumped right
That's
in
what
right
you said.
Away.
That's what you said.
Yeah.
It jumped right in with research. How exciting is research?
No, it was just too much too fast. It wasn't research. There was all sorts of – the monkeys with the killing and the everything. Too much, dude.
I liked it very. I liked how it.
And they held
it didn't
back,
even need.
Dude.
It didn't even. Well, yeah, it was a PG-13.
An R-rated film
would have
been fantastic.
Oh, it would have been great.
Yeah.
And I talked about it
face
on the
ripping?
Show.
Face ripping, amazing.
We needed some ball ripping off and some face ripping.
Some gentle mutilation.
The R-rated version would have been better. Yep. It would have been even more.
Yep.
Top my list, but that's what you get in summer with summer blockbusters. They got to go lowest common denominator, which is 13-year-old boys. They're making these movies for 13-year-old boys. Same, like I made the argument earlier with Crazy Stupid Love. First 45 minutes of that movie, I could have watched Gosling and Steve Carell hang out for an entire movie. I would have liked
chested.
If Due Date was with those two instead, and you know they changed it around a little bit. Great fucking movie. Make it R. But instead, they got to neuter it. It's got to be PG-13. So instead of him saying fuck you to Steve Carell at the mall, he has to take his shoe and go, no, you're not going to wear this anymore, and throw it over the side. Like, oh, look at that. This guy, it has to go, they have to go slapstick instead of harsh language, coarse language. So same with the monkeys. Like Bill Burr said on his podcast, his girlfriend Nia, she was very upset with him because he was really pissed when he found out it was going to be PG-13. And she said, why? Why do you care? What, do you want to see the monkeys fucking? That would have been kind of cool.
That would have been fantastic.
That would have been kind of cool, yeah. Or maybe raping some of the humans. But I liked this movie quite a bit. And
Imposing their
monkey will. It could have been, it didn't even have to be Planet of the Apes, other than a couple key characters. I mean, this movie would have stood up on its own, you know?
Yeah, well,
it's Project
a prequel.
X.
It's a prequel, after all.
Yeah, I know, but it didn't need Planet of the Apes reference. You know, it could have been fine on its own without any Planet of the Apes.
Aside from the one sort of line that was a very obvious takeoff from the original, I don't feel like there was any nod to Planet of the Apes. You know what I mean?
It didn't need to be. It almost felt like it was forced just to have the title just so people, you know,
would associate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it. You know what? It felt to me like Star Trek did a couple years ago. J.J. Abrams. Mm-hmm. Star Trek had no interest. What it is, too, is I had no expectations for this movie. But I, you know, read a couple good good reviews. I just saw a couple good ratings. Like Rotten Tomatoes had it rated pretty high. Oh, yeah. So I'm like, I'll give it a shot. You go in with low expectations, you're going to like it more. That's why
I went in with too high.
I dread everything. I dread everything, Brian. And then I'm always pleasantly surprised.
What about The Victim?
It's a movie?
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Might be number one on my list.
Oh, wait, The Victim. That's what
it's a movie?
Who was the comedian who said he was talking about how mentally challenged, or especially Down syndrome kids, are really, really strong? And monkeys are really, really strong? Yeah. That's what he was saying. So he said that means the strongest thing in the world is a Down syndrome monkey. Down syndrome chimp would be super chimp. Who was that?
Number one for me.
Charlie Banks.
I thought it was going to be Transformers 3.
I'm actually on pins and needles right now. We shouldn't have a drum roll here.
Well, it's a movie I talked about at FlickFest a few months ago, actually back in May, and was not on my list of movies most anticipated, but turns out I think it was a sleeper hit of the summer, not a movie on many people's radars. Radars.
No, it's a single.
But I fucking loved, and I will stand up for
Fats
this.
Don't have radars.
I loved Bridesmaids. You thought I was going
to
say Harry Potter.
She went to see it with the gay husband and told me that I wouldn't like it.
Oh,
she went and saw it with her gay husband and came back and said, yeah, you won't like it, but I did.
I was getting ready for some of your vitriol, some of your bile.
Mm-hmm.
No. Bridesmaids is a very funny movie. Funniest movie this summer. Reminded me a lot of The Hangover. Not from a content perspective, but just from this is the summer's comedy. This is the movie that people will be talking about and the scenes will be remembered from.
Yeah.
And even all the way down to Melissa McCarthy from The Nines.
She's fat.
Recent Emmy winner. She is. She was so fantastic in this movie. This is a star-making turn.
She's very good.
She's very good. And reminded me of Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover.
He's fat.
He is also fat and bearded. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's at the top of my queue.
This
right
will
now.
Be
I'm
shit
waiting.
That people like give their bridesmaids.
I think it comes out October 7th or October 18th or something. It comes out soon. On Netflix. And
90% on Rotten Tomatoes. R-rated. The highest grossing Judd Apatow film ever. Although it wasn't a film, it was a production. They call it the highest grossing Judd Apatow production of all time. By the way, we're getting a little too much niche on these highest grossing things of all time because I was looking on Wikipedia. They referred to Horrible Bosses as the highest grossing black comedy of all time. I'm like, really? can we determine exactly what a black comedy is? I mean, is that sort of like you declare yourself a black comedy?
Wait, Horrible Bosses?
Yeah.
Black comedy.
That's what it says on Wikipedia.
Oh, I'm thinking of African American. That's really what I was thinking.
Well, Motherfucker Jones.
Yeah, I know. That's what I thought you meant.
Yeah.
That's what I thought it meant. Some other movies that I missed that are on the list of movies that I did miss that I will see. One called Last Circus, Brian. It's a foreign language movie. Very excited about it. It's 1937 in Spain.
I'm out for so many reasons.
In the midst of a brutal Spanish civil war, a happy circus clown is interrupted mid-performance and forcibly recruited by the militia. And apparently it's supposed to be a dark, horrible, awesome comedy. French and Spanish, Spain and France, the two movies. It's called The Last Circus. And from what I've read about it, it sounds very interesting. Sounds very Guillermo del Toro.
Mm.
And I missed it. I went to see it, but it had already left the theater. Another movie. So I added that to my list. X-Men, Midnight in Paris. I'm going to see that this week, and I'll talk about it finally next week. I've kind of been resisting that movie because Dr. Drew, like, about every night for 2 weeks said, Have you seen it yet? Let's talk about it. I don't know why, but I'm an asshole, and I dug in my heels. I'm like, no, I'm not going to. It felt like homework. God damn it. And missed the mark, movies that I did see but didn't make it on the list. The Debt, I already talked about it. Super 8, we talked about it. Cowboys and Aliens, Crazy Stupid Love, and Conan O'Brien Can't Stop. That's the one movie that I did not talk about, but I saw it. And if you like Conan, it's interesting, but I'm glad I didn't.
A lot of too many jams, too many musical jams.
Well, I don't know about his actual show. That seemed like that might have been the case, but it felt like Comedian, the Seinfeld movie. A bit of a slow start, but then you really kind of feel like I understood the grind and the grinding you down and how much energy it takes, especially for a guy his age, to go on tour. I mean, you could just see how exhausted he was. Yeah. And it was really interesting to see how he didn't want to deal with all the people and all the pictures, but he couldn't help himself and he wanted it too. It was a nifty little psychological study there on old Conan. I like Conan very, very much.
I will see this.
He's an egomaniac, though, for sure. Self-admitted.
I like Conan much less than all you guys, so it'll be interesting to see what my reaction is.
But it's available streaming. It's available on Instant. So you can watch that. Sweet. And something else, I just throw a little bone for any of you who might not still have seen Let the Right One In. It is available on streaming. Watch instantly right now on Netflix.
What about Let Me In?
Let Me In, I don't know if it is. Let the Right One In, it's better. It's the original.
All right.
It's in Swedish.
Oh, yeah. Not in English?
They did the end scene.
It's dubbed though, right? Tell me that.
And then you get to see the Barbie doll crotch.
Yeah.
In the original too. Yeah.
Ow!
Which is confusing anyone who didn't read the book, which is me. Puzzling. Why did we just see a non-genitals? But Let the Right One In. When old Carano, Mike Carano and I did a top five vampire movies, which we should do.
Sure.
You think it's going to suck, but you sit down, you do it, it's actually pretty good.
Oh.
I didn't try and do that, actually. I'm sorry.
Good stuff.
I didn't try and do that. That was not a purposeful pun. I apologize.
You will hate my list.
We should do it though.
All right.
We should do it sometime soon.
Sure. And by soon, I mean not soon.
Sexy Vampire.
I should give a nod to a movie maybe many of you expected to be on my list, but Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2.
Yeah.
Just missed making it. I really came down to I liked X-Men more. I did see it.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked X-Men more, so I put that on the list and left Harry Potter.
Got it. And so Harry's gone now, yeah? Till the reboot?
Yeah, so there's new Harry coming along.
I think that does it.
Twitter us, if you will, at TheFilmVault. Facebook.com/TheFilmVault. Check out our page. We love hearing from you. AndersonandBrian.com if you want to get to all of our stuff.
We're asking them to do a lot of stuff.
I'm just pointing them in the direction they can go.
NeoCarAudio.com.
NeoCarAudio.com, our first sponsor of our new incarnation.
Since being freed.
And support the people that support us, because he's a fan. He sought us out, and as a thank you for him, we'd like to send him a little bit of business.
I miss this, Brian. It's good to be back.
I'm ready for bed.
I'm sorry for my extra wheeze. I got a cough.
I will hopefully be in bed before 2 a.m. That will be a close one.
All right.
Until then, Anderson.
We are doing it for fans.